Good morning. Welcome back to the God School. This is part two of the good speaking God. I want you to open your Bibles to the first epistle of Peter. Peter, an apostle, sent one of Jesus Christ to strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I like the opening of this message, particularly here at the God School, where we are scattered. You know, from California to Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, even across the seas to England, that I'm aware of, scattered. And he says to strangers. He didn't say strange, although in my case, and probably in a few of the listeners here, it might be a fair description. But strangers, why strangers? Well, let's say why strangers. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that makes us sons and daughters of God the Father, who is in heaven, wherein through his election we are citizens, or have our citizenship in heaven, which, as long as we're not there, wherever we are strangers in that place. And as long as we are in this flesh, in this fleshly body, and not wholly, totally in heaven, this description of us, strangers or foreigners, is very cogent or brings a truth to mind. We are not home yet. Why? Because God has elected us. You're listening to the God School. Somehow, if you're an intense listener here, you've been disaffected by what the world calls the church, because God has put it in your heart as Peter puts it later, the desire for the sincere milk of the word. It means an intense yearning. I'm trying to read my handwriting here. It means sincere, unadulterated word of God. That's hard to get. We're doing our best, and by the help of God, by the calling of God, we're doing our best to deliver that unadulterated portion of God's word. Elect, it's of similar roots as that which is spoken of in Ephesians 1:4, exelexitos. Here it's a shortened form, eklektos. If you're hearing this word, if you are coming to God and putting confidence in His promises, I assure you, it is not of yourself, but it is of God, and it started by God electing. Eklektos, pick out, chosen. Picked out, chosen, picked out. Picked out of where? Out from among those who weren't picked out. Chosen out from among those who weren't chosen. By well, let's continue. Elect according to the foreknowledge, that's an interesting word in the Greek, it's prognosis. We have all kinds of prognosticators in the sports world, in the stock market, in the financial world. They're all guesses. God doesn't guess. It's not a guess with God. He doesn't sit up there wringing his hand saying, oh, I hope this comes about. No, His word is sure and firm. According to the prognosis of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, there's so much in here. The foreknowledge of God. Sanctification, that is, separation of the Spirit. How are you separated? How are you sanctified? You are sanctified through God's election, and that which goes along with that election, with His Holy Spirit. What is part of that separation, part of that sanctification? It is unto obedience. Oh, saints of God, It was revelatory. It was revolutionary when I first heard this word translated here in English, obedience. When I first heard its true meaning, you know, when I first picked up the Bible, long time ago, I didn't think too kindly of it. Because one of the words that I encountered in the Bible was this word obedience. And I had a good understanding of its meaning, like all of you do. It means to perform. No, it doesn't. That's what it's come to mean in the modern vernacular. But when this word, this Greek word, which is hupakoia, was first translated by William Tyndale, he had the influence of the Latin language on it, but it, listen to the Latin, it is, if it were, hupakoia were translated into Latin, the word is ob, comes from two Latin words, obdecir. And it means to run to the sayer, to hearken diligently. It has to do with hearing, not performing. And in the history of the church, the God of this world has been able to disappoint, to, if possible, to disaffect. The elect of God by a misunderstanding of this word obedience. Because when I came across it, thinking that its full meaning meant to do what you were told, and I knew I wasn't doing what I was told, and looking unto myself, to some extent, I lost hope. I was looking for results in the flesh when that's not even what God's Word was talking about. What it's talking about is we are separated by the hearing of, by the hearkening diligently to the Word of God. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter says, grace unto you, unmerited favor and peace be multiplied. Hmm. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Multiplied peace, grace and peace be multiplied. I don't know about you, but as I walk through this world, not always in the spirit, not always giving ear to God's word, but being affected by what I see and circumstance, I need this unmerited favor. I need this cessation of againstness with God multiplied, multiplied times. And I believe I have every confidence through experience that each, and I'm not talking personally, but just in general of the general condition that we are all in, that we need grace, unmerited favor, and peace multiplied. Verse 3. King James says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." No, last week, Ephesians 1:3, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 1:7. I'm going by memory. If that's not correct, find it yourself. It would be a good exercise for you to open your Bibles yourself and be exposed to the Word of God. Here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, we have the same word, eulogetos. I love the consistency of the truth found in the Word of God. We get our word, as I said last week, eulogy from it, where someone stands up and speaks well. God, through His gospel, is speaking well to us. What is this well-speaking of God? He says, "Blessed, the good-speaking God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according," remember that word last week, "according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This word, begotten again, forgive me for my pronunciation, anagenoō. You hear the gen in there, generated. It means of men who fathered children, to be born, to be begotten, of women giving birth to children, of God making men His sons through faith in Christ. Folks, men and women beget sons and daughters. What God begets are God's sons and daughters. He, being a good speaking God, is telling us that He is the source of the hope that we have, that hope being in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. Our condition, when God finds us, is dead in sins and trespasses. Ephesians says, who has quickened us, given life. Here, we're being told this hope is generated by God, our Father, creator of heaven and earth, that we are now His sons and daughters. And we have this hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the resurrection of Christ is so fundamental, is the foundation of Christianity. Not all this other crap. What is the hope? The lively hope. Being begotten again of God, and we're not talking about this flesh and blood, folks. We're talking about the new creation we have become through God's begetting us in Christ, through Christ Jesus. What's the hope to an inheritance? Uncorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Whoever's listening. As we live by faith, this message is to you. Take it personally. To an inheritance uncorruptible. The word apharthatos, it means uncorrupted. It means not liable to corruption or decay. It means imperishable. You think that's talking about your body? You think that's talking about the natural man? Uncorruptible and undefiled. Amiantos. It means not defiled. Hebrews 7. In in the 26th verse, speaking of Jesus Christ, for, now listen, let's go to the 25th verse, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost, save evermore, to save them forevermore that come unto God by him, that is Jesus Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. 26th verse, for such an high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled. It means free from that by which the nature of a thing is deformed or debased, or its force or vigor is impaired. Peter uses the same word here describing our inheritance as that which Paul in Hebrews uses to describe some or a portion of Jesus Christ. Its force or vigor never to be impaired. Reserved in heaven for you. That's why he says strangers, because we're not there yet. But we have a reservation. And that, you know, you call a hotel, you make a reservation, they said, give us a credit card to guarantee your reservation. We have Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us as our guaranteed reservation in heaven. Peter still speaking to you and to me, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look, it's not your perfect performance. It is your obedience through sanctification of the Spirit, your yearning with intensity to hear the Word of God and receive it gladly and grab hold of it and have confidence that it's more real than all that we might see, feel, or experience. We are who are kept, who are guarded. Guarded by what? By the power of God. Do you know power is what makes God, God? It's not love, although we're grateful he is such a loving God, but that doesn't make God, God. It's not that he's merciful. That's not what makes God, God. What makes God, God is power. If the devil had more power than God, then the devil would be God. But he does not have more power. God, who made everything from nothing, there is no power like unto his power. And Peter, sent from God, is telling us we are kept by that power. And when we realize that it's going to be revealed in the last time, not necessarily today, not necessarily back when Peter wrote this, or not, certainly not when Peter wrote this, and certainly not through the 2,000-year history of the church, because it says revealed in the last time. We're getting close. But this is the hope that we have because we have been begotten of God and because we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, soterion, that is, all that God intended man to be. It is not only a finished product, but paradoxically, it is a process, and we're in that process, and our hope is that it will be revealed. It's not all uncovered yet. And because of this lively hope and the knowledge that we are guarded by the power of God and that God has begotten us again, that God has begotten us, all these things, Peter says, because of these things, ye greatly rejoice. And the word rejoice here, it's in the middle voice. Rejoice for your own sake. And the root of this word the Greek word being agaleo, the root of it is holomi. And it means to leap, to spring up, to gush up. If this word from the good speaking God is causing something to spring up in you, rejoice. And if you rejoice, you do it because of joy, and joy because understanding through God's Spirit has been given to you, is being given to you. And that understanding, it can never be taken away. Because of these things, we do greatly rejoice, though now wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. I want to encourage you, seasons change. If you be in heaviness through manifold temptations, seasons change. This same word in verse 6, Peter uses in verse 10 as he says, as every man has received the gift, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wherever we might find ourselves in manifold temptations, we are to understand the manifold grace of God. Multicolored But God's grace can address and does address the manifold temptations. Don't lose your hope. Don't live on fact. We live on faith. Our righteousness is by faith. That righteousness is a gift from God. We are strangers and pilgrims here on earth, for through the Spirit of God, we do seek a city whose builder and founder is God. Peter tells us of these temptations or trials. He says that the trial of your faith dokoumion, look, folks, how many times over these years when we've gone to the table of the Lord, it says, but let a man examine himself. This is the same word. Or it's a derivative, dokoumizo, prove. That the proving of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke of his coming again. The scriptures speak of his coming again. He spoke personally of it. And he said, when I return, he didn't say, when I return, will I find people performing perfectly? He didn't say, will I find people not going to bars? He didn't say, when I return, will I find people going to church four nights a week? He didn't say all these things that the church would, that many in the church, God knows that I know I'm not the only voice. I wish I were aware of more. I'm aware of God, and I'm aware of his choosing, but oh, that which I get exposed to, which is called the church, they're teaching everything else but this. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? And the scripture is very clear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearkening diligently. Running to the voice. And God be thanked, he has preserved this word, which we can hear. And by the hearing of it, faith is produced. And that faith will be to the praise and honor and glory of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be manifest when He appears again. Peter says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, that is, in Christ, though now ye see him not, yet faithing. And when you're faithing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Peter, you know, I love the Bible for the intrinsic evidence of truth that it brings to us, because it does give me hope. The profile that is presented through the Gospels of the Apostle Peter is, it gives me hope. He wasn't sent down from heaven, but he's is sent by the Spirit, but boy, his performance in most of the history that we have of him is one of an underperformer. Quick to speak, not measuring up in performance. Certainly, a testimony that I could give, but nonetheless, by the Spirit of God, He is moved to deliver the Word of God, the Word of hope, the Word from the good-speaking God, as I am so moved. It gives me hope. It gives me hope. And it should give each and every one of you hope. Even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, Look, this whole Old Testament, of which Jesus said himself, they speak of me. They were instruments used by God, but not completed with understanding of what it was that God gave them to say, because it was not manifest unto them. But now Peter, looking back at the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, tells us that these prophets spoke of the grace that should come to you, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels did desire to look into. Remember last week? What's the job of the church? To reveal the mystery. See if we can find it quickly. To reveal the mystery Ephesians 3:9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. No credit or glory unto us, but unto God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, having heard of from the good speaking God of our new birth in Christ Jesus, of his grace, of his peace, of his power keeping us, Peter now tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Well, there you go, Don. There's your verse. No drinking alcohol. No doing drugs. You got to be sober, having heard all this stuff. No, it means to be calm. It means to be collected in spirit and hope to the end for the unmerited favor that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, that is, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. As obedient children, we have the word again. The wonderful picture is that of a boy being introduced to a swimming pool for the first time. And the father, being in the pool, says to the boy, "Jump, son, I'll catch you." And because the Son hears the Father's words and trusts the Father, he jumps. If it were someone other whom the boy has not come to know as his father, he will see the danger and discern for himself, this is not a good idea to be jumping into that which doesn't look welcoming to me. And he won't jump. But because the Father says, jump. And because the boy has learned to listen to his Father, he jumps. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I want to see your holiness. Look, the word is hagios, and the derivative of this hagios we find in the second verse of this chapter, where it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, holiness, separation of the Spirit. By his Spirit has separated you. If we could make up a word, God has holied you by his Spirit. There's the connection. It's not your performance. It's God. Back to the same old thing. You didn't choose God, he chose you. And his method is to make you holy through his Spirit. It has nothing to do with perfect performance. It has to do with commitment. God committed himself to you so much so that he gave his only Son for you. We also should be committed more to him than to anyone or anything else in this life. And if you call on the Father, the one who has begotten you, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I have to tell you something. I struggled. I struggled with this verse the first time I saw it. I struggled with it in preparing to deliver this message, because this is one of those verses that if I were in the flesh, I would have great fear and trembling, because it says, who without respect of persons judges every man, judges according to every man's works. Yes. there is a judgment of God which is going to be according to every man's works, but to you who are elect of God, who are sanctified through His Spirit, who are hearkening diligently to His Word and acting as though His Word is more real than anything that we might see or experience, which is called faith, that is not the place you shall be found. You shall be found at the judgment seat of Christ, wherein the works of faith and that which Christ has done for us will be the criteria of our judgment. Why? For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain habits, received by tradition from your father, from your fathers. This gathering at the God School is an uncommon, and it certainly is an untraditional gathering of strangers, that is, those who are citizens in heaven and are looking for that city. And we are not going to be bound by the traditions of our fathers, because we were not redeemed with corruptible things. And we will continue next time in this news to those who are scattered, but nonetheless begotten of God. For now, that is the God School.